And they had a life-saving station down at the lighthouse. That was the first life-saving station.
Oh.
Had one man in a boat. They had to... When there was a wreck, I had to come up to Empire and get a volunteer crew to go down there. I was in the Empire when there was the Cuomo was wrecked up above Gardner there, about 10 miles. I wish I had the book, you know. It's in the whole history is in about that wreck in the Geographic
magazine.
What?
The Geographic magazine?
See if you got them there.
What year would that
in
be?
In here?
That was in...
It was wrecked inside the river?
No, that was
at
about
Gardner?
9, 10 miles.
That's
north.
A big order.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you look through these. I'll bring you some look through too.
Oh, not them. Oh, no, no.
Oh, not these?
That's other books.
No, up the coast?
Gunfall.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She went in on the beach.
Yeah, she went on the beach. And she was a... Name was Tacoma. She was new steamer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she went ashore there and they went to send this life-saving station from here up there. And the captain, he came up and got a crew. Well, I was too young to go then. He came up to Empire, had a horse down at the lighthouse. They had to ride up to Charleston, then he'd cross there in a boat or a canoe and then walk up the Empire to get a volunteer crew. Well, he got a volunteer crew and he went down there and they had quite a time launching the boat, and the tugboat from Coos Bay was to take him up to the Tacoma. Well, it was pretty rough weather. And the tugboat came out and outside the bar there, and he was racing there, and the skipper of the lifeboat, he wouldn't go out. And the tugboat went back in to Goose Bay, and the men come back up, the volunteer crew come back up. And then there was a Al Reed, he was running a cannery up at Gardner, and he had fishermen there, and a fellow by the name of Bergman took a fish boat from the cannery up there and went out and saved the balance that was left of the crew. And after that, why, they built a life-saving station at Gardner.
Herman, do you recall an old saltwater man around the bay here, and he's quite a shipbuilder too, by the name of John Swing? Have you known him?
No, yes, I don't.
Was he from around this area, do you think? Or?
Yeah, he was born there in Pony Slough.
He's born in Pony Slough, and did he build many boats here on the bay?
Oh, yes.
I know of several.
Quite a few. I helped him build one boat. They call it fish.
They call it fish? He had a kind of a shipyard down by Empire, didn't he, for a while?
Well, it's up just below the mouth of Pony Slough. You see, the whole country has changed there. There used to be a channel come right around up under where the airport is now.
Yeah.
Up along that shore. And when the government had these soldiers built the whole slough and changed the whole thing.
Well, Pony Slough used to come out down closer to Empire than it does now.
I don't wonder where the airport is now, where that building's there.
Oh, yeah.
I used to wrap gloves out of there. John Swing wrapped gloves.
In Mr. Peterson's history of Coos and Curry County, he mentions some of the things that the Indians got out of the sand hills for eating and for some of their household items, and he mentions a hollowooded plant or root. And I've asked a number of people what in the world that was, or if they knew what it could be, and I haven't found anybody that can help me on it.
Well,
have you ever heard of it?
I don't know, but I know they used to get a lot of roots over there, but I don't know the name of them. But they roast it, and it was something like, it looked to me like it was something like a squash. That's to say, there's long roots and grow in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
But when they roast it, why, the inside turned yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've eaten it. It tastes very good. But that's when long roots growed in the sand.
Herman, do you recall how, or ever having heard how the Indians would manage to get a big animal like an elk?
Yes. They'd had pits, dug big pits, and covered the pits in the runway, made big pits, and they'd have spears in the bottom of the pit, and they'd cover the top over with brush, you know, and the elk would drop in and onto them spears.
Had you ever heard where there was any pits around this part of the country?
Yes, in the early days and up in that country used to be lots of them. Over there, nice men there.
Hmm.
Yeah. But they gradually shaved.
Sure.
So
sure.
Just look now like
I think that's
a tree had turned up.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That was pits in the early days.
And did they use hides for clothing, do you think?
Well, essentially, furs.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Would they use the elk hides and deer hides for anything?
Well, the moccasins and so forth, you know,
yeah.
And
leather. Uh-huh.
Also, they use that on the buildings, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The hides on the outside of this
framework.
Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of protection, all right?
Yeah. But there'd be an opening in the top there where the smoke took out. They'd build a fire right in the center of the teepee.
Were the Indians well built? Were they good physical specimens? Or were they small or tall? Or how were they?
Well,
we don't see many Indians around here anymore.
Some of them were very huskies and others was not.
Oh, yeah.
We father had one Indian working for him for over 5 years. He was a good worker. His name was Silas. But he said that there was a man by the name of Captain Kitchener from Port Orford in the early history down there that raised him. I don't know anything on him, but they told me. But he was liked to be with the whites a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for my father 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good Indian. He was a young Indian. He was about, oh, I suppose he was about 23 or 4 when he worked for my father.
Well, where did your father get his stock to start this homestead?
Well, I don't know.
Must have been few and far between in those days.
They were. Yeah. I think it was from the Dement.
Oh, yeah.
Dement. I think that's where he got his first cow. Oh, he got two cows. That's the first I remember. Yeah.
Well, did you know the Goulds that settled up on the West Fork? Did you know the Goulds?
Oh, yes, I know them. I know them real well. I used to hunt with an old man.
Well, their establishment wasn't necessarily a stock ranch, was it? Did they have stock, or was it a hunting lodge?
Oh, yes, they had stock, but they made a living out of
hides and
hunting hides and so forth, and dried elk meat. Yeah, they dried lots of elk meat. He used to go around to the logging camp and sell dried elk meat.
Do you recall how they did that in a large scale like that? Do you recall how they dried the elk meat? Would they smoke it too, or was it just sun dried?
Oh, they smoked too. Just enough to keep the flies away.
Oh, yeah.
I've dried lots of it myself. I know that there was the Hardy Mine. Anything about the Hardy Mine?
Well, I have all the literature that I can get on it because it's right close to my place.
Well, what did you get?
The fellow's name that promoted it, and the fact that they put a two-track hole in the ground there, and I forget how far they went back, about 1,500 feet, I think, and it tells the conditions of the soil and the coal. It was primarily a stock venture, I think, and they lost a lot of money on it. Some people lost a lot of money on it. And another question about that, had you ever heard about a tunnel going through the point there where Nipper used to live?
Well, sure.
Nipper claimed that there was a tunnel going through the point there, and showed me where it went.
Where the track was. Right through that point.
Well, if the tunnel goes through that point, come out on my property, and I would be curious to know where it would come out.
Did you know that they had a gangway out there about 300 feet where they run the cars out, and there was two ships loaded coal there.
Well, that's
And 60.
Well, there's a pile of rock out there all by itself, out in the mud.
Yeah, that's dumped from the fellas from the...
I wondered if that wasn't so.
Where do you suppose that rock came from?
They dumped it in Dallas,
No, where did they get it in the first place?
Well, San Francisco, Telegraph Hill.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go down and get one of those rocks and look at it, work it off.
Up on Haines, my granddad showed me where the sailing skiff used to dump their rocks from Telegraph Hill. It's a field now. They run out of wind and they had to start rolling.
I've dumped lots of rocks. We used to have some pretty good boats in our time.
Yeah, I guess.
Say, you wouldn't believe me. In 77, you could take a boat, big boat, centerboard boat, and sail from Market Street there right over to Coosin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can't do it now, can you?
Boy. Whole country filled up.
Harry Walker was telling me about sailing across from his place there with a barge load of spuds, right, straight across to Coos Bay.
Oh, yes. Country's filled up 6-7 feet in my time. Mm-hmm. All in marshes and mud.
Yeah. Well, we've done a lot of dredging in there, too.
You wouldn't know Coos Bay. What a change it is.
Yeah, I bet.
I want to tell you something that you don't know, nobody else does. We used to dig those empire clams there, right there by the railroad crosses from the North Bend over to the Sand Hills.
Yeah.
And down to Jordan's Cove. The water was just as salt as it is out at sea. And there was no, wreck. Well, it was dismantled. Simpson dismantled it. She was old, I guess, and he took the rigging off, and he shoved it across the, onto, towards Glasgow there, just about as the mouth where that, I dig that channel for the ferry to run.
Yeah.